Life podcast. We truly hope you'll be inspired and challenged today. Now, let's dive into this message with the family at Pleasant Ridge.
We're going to be here in Jonah chapter number 3. And we've, in a sense, kind of turned the page now to another section here of what's been going on. And up until now, Jonah has disobeyed God. He ran from the presence of the Lord. The Lord has sovereignly used a great wind. He used a great fish and to really bring Jonah back to where he needed to be. We must remember that the Lord not only knew of all these events that would take place, he knew that what Jonah was going to do, but also the Lord also prepared in advance, far prepared in advance, that all these things would happen, and he would prepared things so that way he could get Jonah back to where he needed to be. And in reality, when you think about it, God had chosen Jonah for a certain task, for a certain period, for a certain time, and that was to go and proclaim God's message to the city of Nineveh. And God was going to make sure that Jonah was going to do it. Even didn't matter how far Jonah was going to run, didn't matter how far Jonah was think he was going to leave God's presence, God was going to bring him back where he needed to be. And so last week we saw where Jonah was in that belly of the great fish praying, right? He prays, he makes vows, he says salvation belongs to the Lord. Finally he gets his head right of what he's supposed to be doing. And what happens? That great fish vomits out Jonah onto dry land. Can you imagine what that must have looked like? Can you imagine what that must have smelt like? When I was a youth pastor, we used to do this thing during the summertime, and it was kind of a large youth outreach thing that we would do. And we would have this one evening on Thursday night, and it was called Destination Unknown. And basically, we would load everybody up, go to a place, and that's where we would go and have games and stuff like that, and some preaching, and we had food for everybody. But I'll never forget, we had fried chicken. I don't know, it must have been the chicken or something. I don't know. But I got sick. I mean, really, really sick. I mean, violently sick. I remember I was in the backyard somewhere away from everybody else, but I mean, it was so sick, it came out of my nose, right? I mean, it was bad. And you think about, like, here's this situation, right? Jonah gets vomited out onto dry land. And wow, that must have been quite the sight, the smell and all of those things. And so when you think about this, right, God's whole purpose in all of this was for Jonah, the man that God had chosen. Jonah was to go and proclaim judgment on this great city. If you can just remember back in chapter 1, verse number 2, this was the task, and yet Jonah didn't do it, right? I mean, he clearly tells him, right? Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. Call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. But Jonah didn't do that. You know, for those of us who know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we too have been commissioned. We too have been called. We too have been commanded by Jesus Christ himself to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel, right? To make disciples. That's what we've been called to do. And this is our commission. This is what we are supposed to be doing. And we're supposed to be proclaiming the good news of the gospel. And however, you know, there might be some who, like Jonah, who have not learned that lesson yet. That, that might be for somebody else. That's not necessarily for me. But really, God has called all of us to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel. And, you know, one of the great lessons that Jonah had to learn was how great God's love really is for us. And really, how great God's love is for the city of Nineveh, a city that was very wicked, very violent, very evil. And yet, God says, I want you to go and proclaim to them, judgment is coming. And you know, we know from the New Testament scriptures that God the Father has proved his love for sinners, right? In sending his Son to die for us on the cross. And now as we work our way here through verses 1 through 5 is what we're going to be looking at here in Jonah chapter 3. You'll see that Jonah preached a very specific message. In fact, God says, I want you to speak the things I'm going to tell you. I'm going to give you the message to proclaim. And it was a message of coming judgment of God upon the city of Nineveh. Nevertheless, the message, as we'll see here, performed a work in all of these people because God does something great through this message. And as you'll see, the people repent. They believe God. So I want to show you how this message preached by Jonah really relates to us today in how we should proclaim and share the eternal good news of the gospel of Christ to those that are without. The Lord showed great grace and mercy to the Ninevites because of their repentance. And I want to give you three important observations about repentance that I think is very important. Repentance is one of those words that we don't like to hear too much about today, because if we say you need to repent, then that means, well, you're saying that there's something wrong with me. You're saying how I'm living or how I act or how I behave, that there's something wrong. And we don't like to hear that today. But repentance is necessary. It's essential. I can't overstate that, how important it is to our salvation. The repentance is necessary. And so as we look at this repentance, I think it'll be very helpful to us to kind of do an introspection of our own lives, but also to make sure that we are proclaiming Christ and we are proclaiming the message just as what Jesus proclaimed as well. And so I believe that if we fail to understand this message of repentance, we will not see or understand how marvelous the grace of the Lord truly is. I mean, we all like those benefits, right? The grace, the mercy, the forgiveness. But repentance is necessary. So repentance is essential in salvation. So this is what I'd like for you to take away with you this morning. Repentance is necessary in order that the Lord may display his grace. God wanted to show great grace to the people of Nineveh, but repentance was necessary in order to do that. And so repentance is necessary in order that the Lord may display his grace. So let's take note here of a few things. Number one, God desires to use people that have experienced his grace. Check out verses 1 and 2. So here's Jonah. He's been vomited out on the dry land now. Notice what it says. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. Aren't those awesome words? Those are words of grace. You see that the second time? Aren't you thankful for the second time? Aren't you thankful for the third time and the fourth time and the fifth time? Right? God is a God of grace. And he bestows grace and he gives us grace. I mean, here's Jonah, right? Like, he was already told what to do. It was clear. The message was clear. It wasn't like, well, you know, I thought you said. No, it was very clear. And yet Jonah disobeyed. But here God gives him grace. We see that a second time. And so this was a call to preach to the Ninevites, which Jonah rejected. Unwilling to obey, what does he do? He flees, right, to the city of Tarshish, over there in some distant land there in Spain, 2,500 miles away, thinking, I'm going to flee from the presence of the Lord. And we see that God intervened with that great storm that threatened to destroy that ship, to break it up. And in order to save the ship, the crew cast Jonah overboard, but instead of drowning, he was swallowed by that great fish. Do we not see the grace of God in all of this? Right? God has been showing his grace and displaying his grace. And we see that here as the Lord comes to Jonah the second time and tells him what to do. And so here is Jonah now, and he has experienced God's grace and mercy, and he's called a second time to do God's task. Now notice the text. It does not say here in verse 2, "Now Jonah, you really messed up that first time, and you didn't do what I told you to do. You went down to Joppa, you went down to the boat, you did this, and you did this, and you did that, and you did this, and you did that." I believe this teaches us something about the grace of God. When God bestows grace upon us, he chooses not to remember our past sins. That's a wonderful thing. Here is Jonah. He clearly just tells him, "Now, Jonah, arise, go to Nineveh." You don't see him going over there and pulling up all everything else that he had done previous. He says, "Just arise, go to Nineveh." And so this straightforward command here, he tells him as if nothing had ever happened. God had already dealt with this prophet while he was in that belly of the great fish. And God had decided to deliver him and show him grace. And this tells us a good deal about God's grace. Now, don't miss this. When God extends us grace, he chooses not to remember our previous sins, and he never holds those things against us anymore. Now, this is a tremendous message for those of you that might be here today that do not know Christ as your Savior. For those of you that do not know where your destiny is if you were to step out into eternity. If you die without Christ, you die in your sins, there's judgment. But if we turn to Christ and we turn to him in repentance and we believe the gospel, God chooses not to remember our sins anymore. They're forgotten. And it's a wonderful message to know that. And so God does not hold these grudges. God simply does not hold grudges against people who humble themselves and ask his forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And I hope that you can see that our God is a God who works very patiently with his people and teaches them to obey him. I want you to put these two things together here in Jonah's life and what we're seeing here. Jonah was sent to some very wicked, wicked, evil, evil people. In fact, you just read the book of Nahum, which we'll be going through after this. The type of individuals that the Ninevites were. And you see their wickedness, you see their depravity, right? These people were wicked. I mean, God even says, he says, "For their evil has come up before me." And so here's Jonah. He's supposed to be going to go proclaim God's message to these people. And in his own wickedness and his own rebellion, which is evil, God still showed him grace. Now think about that. Here's Jonah all upset because he doesn't want to go to these wicked, evil people. But yet in his own wickedness and in his own rebellion, God shows him grace. What does that teach us about who God is? God is not a respecter of persons. And God chooses to show grace to whom he chooses to show grace. He gives mercy to those who he chooses to show mercy. And this is a wonderful thing that God does this. And so Jonah had to learn this lesson, and we too have to learn this lesson. What's the lesson? The lesson is, as followers of Christ, we will become more useful to God when we understand the depths of sin and depravity that God has delivered us from, and that God has shown us great mercy and great grace. And if we can't understand that, we don't have a good grasp on the gospel of ourselves, because we have been shown great grace and great mercy. And sometimes we look around at everybody else and we say, oh, they're evil, they're wicked, they're evil, they're rebellious. But what about us? We're evil, we're wicked, we're rebellious. And God has shown us great grace and great mercy. And so as we grow in our relationship with Christ, it is a life of continual repentance and being shown great mercy and grace by our Lord. He uses these moments in our lives to grow in our obedience to Him. For those of us who know Christ, we are children of God and lights in the world, and we are supposed to be declaring God's praises through our witness and our works. Every Christian who has turned to the Lord for forgiveness from sin finds great purpose and meaning in their lives. And here's Jonah. He didn't want to go to Nineveh because he says, these people are wicked. These people are evil. They don't deserve God's grace. They don't deserve God's mercy. But what happens? God shows him great grace. God shows him great mercy. And so God desires to use people that have experienced His grace. Have you experienced God's grace in your life? Have you been a recipient of His mercy? Have you seen God forgive you of your great sin? If so, God desires to use you because you have experienced His grace. Listen to Jude verses 20 through 22. He writes, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh." How does God teach us to become more compassionate towards people that are without Christ? He does so often by showing you where you yourself have been disobedient in the past and where you are disobedient even now. And then He personally leads you into situations during which He will make it plain to you where the error in your thinking is. And He shows us love. He shows us compassion. He shows us mercy in our lives. That's why He says, listen again, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. How do we keep ourselves in the love of God? How do we continue looking for the mercy of our Lord? It's by reminding ourselves of the glorious gospel of which we have been saved. Reminding ourselves that Christ died for our sins, that Christ took the punishment for our sins, and we keep ourselves in the love of God, reminding ourselves daily that we don't deserve mercy. We don't deserve grace. God has shown us great grace and great mercy, and we ourselves should be compassionate. And He says, on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. And so this is why preaching the gospel to yourselves is so important. Constantly reminding ourselves of how we've been shown great mercy and grace. All of us have been commissioned and commanded by our Lord to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Are we doing that? The individuals whom we live around, the people that God has brought into our sphere of influence, the people that we work with, are we sharing God's great grace and His mercy with others that need Christ? Do we have compassion on them? Are we sharing Christ, willing to share Christ to every creature? You know, sometimes I think we may be like Jonah and think that there are certain people that shouldn't have God's mercy or beyond God's saving grace, so that there are people who are unworthy to be saved. Think of the worst sinner that you know. Think of the worst sinner that you have ever met. Do you see them? Do you have a mental picture of them? If the person whom you're thinking about is not yourself, then you have a very poor understanding of the gospel and God's mercy. We are not any better than anybody else. And this is a lesson that Jonah had to learn in his life. God showed him great mercy and great grace. And God desires to use Jonah now because he has experienced God's grace. We see this in Jonah's actions. What a stubborn man Jonah was in his own convictions, wanting God to judge the Ninevites instead of showing them mercy. And how determined he was to prove his point to God that these Ninevites were unworthy of being saved. They don't deserve it. And yet he himself was shown mercy and grace. And through all of this, Jonah would be the instrument that God would use to bring a message of judgment that the people would repent and believe God. This ought to show us something about how God does his work. You know, there is no such thing as great men. There's only a great God. And God will use whomever he wants to in order to accomplish his will. And in this case, Jonah. I mean, if we look at Jonah's resume, does he really deserve to be doing what he should be doing? No. But God uses him despite of all those things. We see this in how he used a storm. He used pagan sailors. He used the roll of the dice and even a great fish to accomplish his will. And God had ordained that Jonah was the man for the job and he would accomplish his plan in all of it. We must always remember that God is the one who gives the increase. It's not us. It's not what we say. It's not what we do. God is the one who gives the increase. We are to just be faithful witnesses, right? Proclaiming God's gospel. And God is the one that gives the increase. And so what's astounding about this whole situation is that God chooses a man who is unworthy himself because he was the man who held feelings most strongly against the Ninevites to go and proclaim this message to. And Jonah had so many objections, but God gets glory to himself when he can accomplish his purpose through a man who will go and preach his message, even though he has issues with the people whom God is sending him to. You see, this ought to really just strike a chord with our own hearts. Because I believe that sometimes we encounter people and we look at them with disgust, or we look at them as I don't know about this, right? It ought to be challenging our hearts to be looking at them as seeing as God sees them. People that are in need of the gospel. People that are going to step out into eternity without Christ. People that will die in their sins, that need Christ. And we ought to be asking ourselves, do I truly have compassion on people? Do I truly love them? Do I truly wish for people to be saved? See, Jonah had so many objections. But yet God sent him and said, you're the man for my mission. You're the guy that's going to do this. You see, I believe this is one of the most important principles for every Christian to learn. The people you are sent to preach to or to share the gospel with have many sinful problems. But guess what? So do we. And if we have been shown great grace and great mercy, we in turn should be showing great mercy and grace to others. and proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And so it's best to see how great God's love is for all sinners everywhere. God has good news for the worst of sinners, sinners of every tribe, tongue, people, and language. This Jonah was going to have to learn by hard experience through all of this. Would he really learn it? Would he really learn it? We'll see. Look at the second thing here. Repentance is time sensitive. In order for God to show grace and mercy to the Ninevites, they would need to repent. It is still the same for today. Repentance is necessary to experience God's grace and mercy. You'll notice that the message that God gave to Jonah to speak to these Ninevites was a simple message. Look what he says here, right? Look what he says in verse 4. Jonah began to go into going a day's journey to the city, and he called out, here's the message. This is the message that he proclaimed. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's it. Notice the message didn't come and say, hey, hi, I'm from Jerusalem. We're just out in the neighborhood, and we're talking to people about the Lord. Hey, do you know the Lord? Hey, I got some, God has a great plan for you. First thing you need to know is that God loves you. No. His message was very clear. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. We see here, look what it says here. It says, so Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city. 3 days' journey in breadth. And so it would take Jonah 3 days just to walk through it preaching his message. In fact, it could possibly be said that Nineveh would be somewhat like any other large city in the U.S. Think of like Los Angeles. Think of like Columbus. Think of like Atlanta. A large city. It would take him 3 days just to walk through it. From what we know, there were 120,000 people living there, according to chapter 4, verse number 11. But I believe that those that it mentions there of the 120,000 were actually just only the children, because he talks about that they don't know the right hand from their left hand. In other words, these children didn't understand about things. And so likely there could have been an estimates of close to about 600,000 people living in the city of Nineveh. And so here, Jonah was sent to these people, and the only thing that Jonah was commissioned to preach was the message of future judgment. And so Jonah preached. Now, in my opinion here, Jonah doesn't add to anything to this message. He doesn't take away anything from the message. What does he say? Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. As we'll see next week, how the people responded to this message. So why did the people respond to this simple message? Well, I believe it was because these people knew that Jonah was a prophet from God. And I believe also that here Jonah is declaring himself to be the only voice, right? Here, I'm telling you, hey, yet 40 days they do. Well, who's going to destroy the city, right? God is. God's going to overthrow it. But I believe that Jonah's message was accompanied by the Holy Spirit's powerful working and influences upon their minds and their hearts. And I think this is something to learn also, that, you know, we don't have to try to persuade people, right? To try to woo people, right? Jonah here gives the message, and the people believed. And this tells us something about how the Holy Spirit is always at work. What is the Holy Spirit doing? He's drawing people, right? He's drawing people. And when they hear the power of the gospel, when they hear the gospel, right, God's drawing them. He's drawing them. And so these people believed. And so he calls out, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And so here, these people, right? God is at work in their minds and their hearts. And we know this must have been the case because the simple message of the coming judgment against their city convinced them immediately. They were convinced. And if they did not repent, they would be overthrown. Now, what's really interesting is that Jonah did not seem to instruct them on what that judgment exactly would be. Do we see it anywhere there? No. He just says, yet 40 days and Nineveh is going to be overthrown. He doesn't tell them how it's going to happen. I mean, was it going to be through an earthquake? Was it going to be through hailstones mixed with fire and sulfur coming down and raining upon the city? Was it going to be through a tornado? Was it going to be through some large calamity? We don't know. But he says, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. And so we're not told what the judgment would be, but whatever it was, they took Jonah's message very serious. Because God wanted to let them know and understand that if they did not repent, they would lose their life as they knew it. Now take note of how long they were given to repent. He says 40 days. 40 days. Jonah was told by God to preach about a specific period of time given for repentance. 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. Now, when Jonah's doing this and his proclaiming this to them, there's no indication from the text that he gave them any other message. Just 40 days, 40 days, 40 days, right? He's going out, he's proclaiming that. He may be walking through the marketplace. Yet 40 days, Nineveh's going to be overthrown. Then he goes down, yet 40 days, Nineveh's going to be overthrown. Then he goes over, yet 40 days, Nineveh's going to be overthrown. That's his message. Now, I don't even think that Jonah even may have had some compassion. We don't see him weeping and saying, do you guys realize in 40 days Nineveh's going to be overthrown? He doesn't do that. Just very straightforward. You have 40 days, Nineveh's going to be overthrown. 40 days, Nineveh's going to be overthrown. And so the message was very clear and specific. He doesn't lecture them over their many specific sins. He doesn't tell them of anything that's going on politically or nationally. He just says, you have 40 days and Nineveh is going to be overthrown. And so this should show us that it's not always necessary in order to see people saved to put any great pressure on them. They simply need to be told in straightforward terms that God is holy and that he must punish sin. And I believe the church has done a great disservice to God and his word by thinking we should soften the message of the gospel to make it more palatable so people aren't as offended. Listen, Christ's message offends. It will offend. And we need to make sure that when we proclaim Christ, that we are proclaiming him just as he is, that we're not adding to or taking away from how he has revealed himself in Scripture. And so God commands that all men are to repent and turn to Christ for salvation. I believe that we should exhort people to repent now, to consciously make a clean break from their sins. And if you're here without Christ this morning, you need Christ. You need to repent. You need to believe in Jesus. Right? Turn from your sins. Why? Because judgment is coming. People there in Nineveh, Jonah proclaimed, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. It's time sensitive. You don't have next week. You don't have tomorrow. You don't have next year. Repent today. Believe the gospel today. And so in thinking about this, I want you to see that the Lord Jesus always talked to people about their need of repentance in just the same way. Let's take our Bibles and turn over to the Gospel of Mark here real quick. I want to show you a couple interesting things here. Turn over to Mark chapter 1, verse number 14. Our brother Alan, a few weeks ago, he spoke to us about this passage here, Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now listen to this. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. What? Repent. and believe in the gospel. It was a very simple gospel that he and his disciples preached. They were to tell people to see themselves as sinners, those who had been broken, those who had broken God's holy laws, and that they needed a righteousness better than their own. You see, we don't have any righteousness. Our good deeds, our good works, they are nothing in the eyes of God. And that's why we need to repent. And we believe in Christ's righteousness for our salvation. And so they needed Christ's righteousness, and that's exactly what Christ's death provides. One of the faults people have is they compare themselves with other people, and they think that other people are worse than them, and so by comparing ourselves, we start to think, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so, and I don't do this, and I don't do that. But the truth is that all of us have sinned. You're here in Mark. Let's flip over one other book. Let's go over to the book of Luke. I want to show you something else here. Look at Luke chapter 13. And our Lord actually deals with some of this type of thinking here. Look at Luke chapter 13. And look at verses 1 through 9. Okay? It says, there were some present at that very time who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. You know, this was a situation. Jesus here was, people came up to Jesus and they were telling him about the Galileans. These were people that lived in Galilee, and Pilate killed some people. And Pilate was a very wicked and evil man, and he mixed their blood. He took their blood and he mixed it, right, with their sacrifices. And he answered them, this is Jesus speaking, and he answered them, do you think that those Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered in this way? He's saying, do you think just because they died a very gruesome and horrible death that somehow they were more wicked than everybody else that was living there in Galilee? He says, no, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Then he gives another example. He says, or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them. So here's some guys working on a tower, and there's an accident, and the tower falls, and 18 people die. He says, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? He says, no, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And then to illustrate these two things, he gives us a parable. Now listen to these words. This is very cool. And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, look, for 3 years now, I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? And he answered him, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down. And so we see here Jesus illustrating this truth that the Father comes to people and he's looking for spiritual fruit. And he's saying, I'm not finding any. And here's the vine dresser, and he pleads with the Father, and he says, hey, the gardener, he says, hey, let me just work on this a little bit. Let me put some manure around it. Let me dig around it, and we'll give it some time. And hopefully some fruit will come. But if not, we'll cut it down. And can I tell you that God is looking for spiritual fruit? And if he does not find the spiritual fruit, your life will be cut short. It'll be gone. He'll cut it down. And so repentance is so necessary, and it's time sensitive. Jonah was sent to tell them 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Here Jesus talks about this thing that we're going to give it a year. We're going to give the plant a year. We're going to give the tree a year to see if anything comes from it. And if not, we'll cut it down because it's wasting the ground. And so repentance is time sensitive. You know, we should be very thankful to God and his Son, Jesus Christ, the keeper of the vineyard. We should take notice of his mercy and how through his Spirit he is working and striving with sinners to bring them to repentance. But if they don't repent, they get cut down. If they resist the Spirit, then they will eventually be cut down and perish in their sins. If they receive the cultivating work of the Spirit and they repent and bring forth fruit worthy of repentance, then they prove that they are truly a Christian, that they know Christ. So don't overlook the importance of repentance. Don't waste the time that has been given you for repentance. Repentance is essential for salvation. And God's looking for repentance. Repentance is a responsibility of every person in order for them to come to know God. And after our salvation, repentance is still necessary, that we are repenting and believing what Christ says. Here's the last thing. God expects to see repentance in a person's life. Now notice this. Take note of this. As soon as Jonah began preaching, look what it says. People started to believe and repent. All the people of Nineveh believed God. And what do? They call for a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. Why did they believe God? It was not because Jonah had some persuasive presentation. It wasn't like he had some kind of gimmick. No, he proclaimed to them the truth of God, who he is, what he said, and the people believed God. It was the power of God's truth that pierced their hearts. The Holy Spirit was already at work in their life, and these people came to believe God. They repented. And this is a great reminder that we should never rely on our own persuasive powers or gimmicks as a way to reach people with the gospel. We proclaim truth. That's what we need to do. Proclaim truth. Always proclaiming truth. So whom has God sent you to proclaim the good news? Who has God brought into your life to share Christ's message of salvation to? Who do you need to encourage to repent and believe in Christ? These people, they put on sackcloth and ashes. They humbled themselves. They lowered themselves. This is a mark of repentance. Humbling ourselves because of our sin. And this was the proper response to Jonah's message. Just as confession of sin and mourning for our guilt is always the sign that God's gospel has been believed. God gave the Ninevites grace to act on Jonah's message. And God gives us grace as well. Did you know that repentance is actually a gift from God? When there is godly sorrow at work in our lives, God actually gives us the ability to repent from our sin. This is a great thing. This is why salvation is not of us. We contribute nothing except the sin that made it necessary for our salvation. And repentance is a gift from God. The Holy Spirit humbles us and enables us to actually do what He requires as evidence of our belief. You know, the situation in our world is a little different from that of Nineveh. The call of warning and invitation is still going out today to repent. Where do we need to repent? What about our church? Do we need to repent? What about in our own lives and our families? Do we need to repent? What about in our community? Do we need to repent? What about in our nation? Do we need to repent? Yes, absolutely. You know, it's interesting, the whole thing with the 40 days. You know, 40 days was a time of preparation. You see that, right? You see the whole thing, like 40 days, right? When they're on the ark. Right, you see the whole thing of Jesus being in the wilderness 40 days, right? 40 days, time of preparation. God always gives us time to repent. How many times has He given us over and over and over and over to repent? Are we heeding the message? Are we listening to what God says? Are we repenting? So it's essential that we repent. It's essential that we continue to repent. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, God's message to you is to turn from your sin and believe the gospel, to repent and believe in Christ. Let's pray together.
If you're interested in more information about our church or knowing the peace that Jesus gives, visit our website at lifeattheridge.church.